Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio. On RNIB Connect Radio.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying all the songs, along with the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast. Dua Lipa welcoming you to the Happy Hour. And we're getting a bit physical today as we jump into part two of our Get Active special. As always, Holly here along with my co-host Paulina. We'll be keeping you company for the rest of the hour.
Yeah, and we have lots of great stuff for you today. World's fastest blind Ironman will join us to share his tips for getting into running. We'll find out how exactly See Sport Differently initiative is breaking down barriers to physical activity and making it more accessible to blind and partially sighted people. And a couple other things as well, right, Holly?
We do indeed. We'll have some fitness technology chat from the Tech Talk crew, and we'll also chat cricket with a visually impaired player. Plus, I'll be giving some clues throughout the show for our sport trivia game today, Guess This Sport. Your task? Try and guess what sport I'm talking about. And today's first clues are, it's not a typical sport, and it involves running down a steep, 180-meter long hill.
That's quite cryptic and unusual, as you said. So stick around, keep us company, enjoy some great upbeat tracks today. Perhaps even add some of those to your next workout playlist. And we're chatting with British Blind Sport next after George Michael. Now we're continuing our sports special today, and we'll be finding out a bit more about how charities British Blind Sport together with charity RNIB are working to increase opportunities for blind and partially sighted people to participate in physical activity. So the project is called See Sport Differently, and this time around we're joined by Frankie Rohan from British Blind Sport, and she's going to tell us all about how they can help us get a bit more active and get moving. So Frankie, it's lovely having you on the Happy Hour.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
So there's a lot of great stuff happening through this project and through British Blind Sport. Would you mind first off chatting a little bit about, let's start with Get Active at Home, because I feel like that's a really nice, easy way of kind of getting into this initiative.
Yeah, so we at British Blind Sport provide sort of an active at home program, which is obviously completely voluntary, and it's completely up to you whether you take part in it or not. And it's a series of video led sort of online workouts, as it's all sort of set through 1 week. So you have basically a different activity on each day of the week. And we've got different deliverers who are obviously experienced in delivering with regards to people with visual impairments. So they're very sort of audio led, a lot of really good verbal descriptions there of the different activities. And there's a whole range of activities you can do. Like I said, each one on each day is different. And also they're all on the evening as well. So obviously if people have commitments through the day and things like that, they're all at really good, handy times for people to join in at home.
And I imagine these would also be available for any fitness levels. You don't have to be super fit to do this.
Oh no, they're literally suitable for all abilities. And the great thing about them being at home and to be able to be done sort of at your leisure, it takes that pressure away as well of having to attend, you know, an activity session elsewhere. If you're sort of new to physical activity, or you might be a bit apprehensive, it's a great way of being able to do things on your own, at your own pace, and in a really comfortable environment that you're used to.
Oh, so that all sounds really lovely. And I think for anyone who's maybe struggling with going outside or just a little bit nervous about going to a new place, it just makes it like a really easy, simple way of getting into some sort of activity.
Yeah, and it gives you an idea of your sort of level of fitness, do you know what I mean? So you don't get any nasty surprises, or you might get good surprises when you go and join a session elsewhere, but it just lets you, you know, ease yourself into something if that's what you're wanting to do, like I said, where you're comfortable. And also, you know, if you want to step things up, you can, and also regress things as well. So you're really sort of in a really comfortable situation there in your own environment, and you can take it as seriously or as recreationally as you'd like.
And obviously being guided by someone who's a professional as well.
Yeah, exactly. So the actual people delivering, the coaches and the guys presenting it, are fantastic. Really good verbal description, you know, very interactive. A lot of people tend to have their videos on with them being online, so that the instructor, if they are sighted, can obviously correct you or, you know, encourage you as you're going through. So it's really good. It's just a really, really sort of comfortable, like I said before, quite, I don't know if relaxing is the right word, but, you know, you're sort of in your own environment and you can literally feel at home.
Yeah, it's very gentle, challenging yourself without being too extreme. So let's say we tried getting active at home, but we're kind of thinking, you know what, I feel up for going to a class, doing something together with other people in person. There is something that can help us find activities around us locally.
Yes, on our website at British Mind Sport, we have our activity finder, which is great because it's dead simple to use. You just basically punch in your postcode and it brings up a list of activities that are available for blind and partially sighted people and inclusive activities in your area.
So I have to ask this one because there's quite a nice range there. What would you say is the most unique activity you've ever seen through the search engine?
Oh, to be honest, we do all sorts. I mean, like Alice was saying in your interview last week, I mean, there's just nothing really that can't be done. You know, we've seen such progression over the years with adaptations and things like that. There's all sorts you can do. I'm trying to think of a quite a unique one. I mean, there's some quite potentially sort of dangerous ones. You know, people can surf. I know there's things like target shooting, archery, which obviously people would probably not think that a blind or partially sighted person could take part in, but obviously they can. It's like I said, it's progressed so much over the years that nothing is impossible really, which is obviously fantastic.
I have to say my personal favorite and something that seems to be cropping up more is martial arts, various martial arts that you can try.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've actually got, you know, Paralympic judo and things like that, you know, and there's all sorts of different branches of it, like you say, different branches of martial arts you can try. There's always a way. It's just down to obviously the participant and the person delivering just having that confidence and, you know, getting rid of those apprehensions about including blind and partially sighted people and giving people a chance and, you know, letting people enjoy all the different various activities that are out there.
Yeah, because that's a nice thing. If you're not sure about going somewhere new, it's nice knowing that you're going to be going to a place that's already prepared to work with you and they know what it's like to have sight loss and how to adapt things so they suit you.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And it just, like you say, it gives you that confidence, you know, to attend those sessions. You know, a lot of things with regards to participants is word of mouth. And, you know, if they've had a good experience somewhere, you know, they're not afraid to tell people, because at the end of the day, that's a big barrier is confidence for attending these things. So if you know that, like you say, the person delivering or even just the people attending, you know, have that little bit of experience, they're understanding and they're sort of empathetic about various situations, it can just make the experience so much better.
So obviously we have the really great activity finder. We have Get Active at Home. There's also a really nice way to try out a different range of sports or a different range of physical activities at events that you host as well.
Yeah, so we hold sort of regional have a go days, which happen all over the country in the UK, and it's great because people can go to these events. They're just one day. We usually have a range of sports there, probably four or five, with hopefully local groups that deliver those sports as well. So you can go and have a try. You can try all the different things in one day. You can give it a go, see what suits you, what doesn't. And the great thing is, because we obviously pinpoint them and sort of signpost to local sessions as well after those taster days, it means that you can actually go and progress and actually join a local session. You know, you're not trying something that isn't actually available in your area. So it's not a one-off. You can actually, if you feel it's right for you or you want to give it a go sort of in a session environment as opposed to just a one-off, you can actually transfer to those sessions really easily.
Yeah, so if you catch the gold ball bug or maybe something else, you can continue doing it and don't feel like you've been left high and dry.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of times we hear about these, about people who try different things or they have taster days, but there's nothing available for them locally for them to kind of progress to and move on to, which is a real shame because you can have such a good time trying whatever sport it might be. And then after that, you know, you don't play it or you don't access it again, which is obviously a shame. And, you know, with regards to C-Sport differently, we're so keen on getting people who aren't currently physically active, you know, engaged in something. And that could be, you know, just that taster day could be that first little nudge that somebody takes and somebody has to progress to be physically active. And if there's nothing for them to access after that, you know, it's a bit of an anticlimax, really, when you've had such a good experience.
Mm. So you obviously said these taster days travel around to different areas. And I think the nearest one or the one that's going to happen the soonest is one in South Wales, which I believe might be your first one for that area.
Yeah, we've actually got one based in Swansea at the end of August, which is really exciting because there hasn't been a great deal of activity for blind and partially sighted people within Wales and stuff over the years. So it's great to get one there and get, you know, a new audience and new participants engaged and involved in the sports we've got to offer at that one. So it's really exciting, that one at the end of August. We're looking forward to it.
So obviously we covered quite a lot of ground today. So if we wanted to find out a bit more information about any of these, the Get Active at Home, or maybe we want to use the Activity Finder, where can we go?
Yes, it would be www.britishblindsport.org.uk. And you can literally find out everything we've talked about today, plus more on that website as well. And we also advertise through social media. So British Blind Sport on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Frankie, from British Blind Sport for telling us so much about C-Sport differently and how we can get active.
No problem at all. Thanks very much for having me.
Our free mental wellbeing check-ins are available for anyone with sight loss who is struggling with their mental wellbeing. It will help you to address some of the feelings created by the current situation, including anxiety and distress, and to recognise that accepting you have these feelings is a positive step. In an hour-long session over the phone, you'll have the space to share feelings, explore coping strategies, and identify any further support needs you may have. Book today by visiting www.rnib.org.uk/mental-wellbeing-check-in or call 0303 123 9999.
From RNIB, the UK's leading sight loss charity. This is RNIB Connect Radio.
Holly and Pauline here on today's Happy Hour show, which is all about getting active. Paulina, as we're talking about getting active, and one thing that people may want to do is track their progress. So I know people like to maybe see how many steps they've done throughout the day because it's a recommended amount of 10,000 steps, so seeing if you're reaching that limit, whether you're going over, whether you need to do some more, that kind of thing. Do you have a way of tracking your fitness activity, or are you someone who is just like, you know what, I'm not bothered, it'll be what it'll be kind of thing?
No, I think I need tracking, otherwise I just get lazy. Like, nothing motivates you as much as realizing that you've only moved 2,000 steps throughout the whole day. So I use a fitness Fitbit watch, and just use the app to like track everything. How about yourself?
Yeah, I am exactly the same in terms of needing that motivation and then seeing that I've only, say, done, like you said, 2,000 steps a day, or getting those reminders of you've maybe sat for too long and need to stand, so it gives you that little bit of motivation and a prompt to actually get up and go for a little wander around. and do some exercise. But yeah, I use an Apple Watch which has built-in accessibility. When I was looking at fitness trackers, I did look at the Fitbit and I'd seen mixed reviews on accessibility because I'm a screen reader user. So yeah, I was drawn to the Apple Watch, but I think from what I've heard, the fitness has got better over the years in terms of accessibility. So maybe when I need to get a new device, I might go down that line because it's certainly cheaper, isn't it?
Yeah, I would research it. I have an older model, and for someone who maybe is partially sighted, so you still have some leftover vision, absolutely would not recommend it because the screen I have is really, really tiny. And once you're going outside, the contrast is really terrible on it. So you would, I struggle to see, and I have full vision, I struggle to read off it in full sunlight. So I would definitely be looking at how contrasted the numbers and everything are on it if you're hope and a bigger screen, to be fair, if you do have any residual sight. And then if not, as you said, something that can work really well with voiceover.
Yeah, that's really good to know. All of these things to consider.
And of course, we'll have guys that actually know their tech inside out talking a little bit more about fitness and some technology, maybe some apps they use, and actually a little bit about community. So Dave and Mark will join us a little bit later on the happy hour. But of course, now it is time for more sport clues for today's Guess This Sport, which Holly has the clues for us. So do you mind?
Of course. So, to remind you, the first clues are: this sport involves running down a 180-meter long hill. And as I said, it's quite an unusual sport. If you're still not sure, here are a couple more clues for you. The first mention of this sport goes as far back as 1826. And it has something to do with Gloucester. If you know the answer to today's Guess This Sport, get in touch. It's radio@rnib.org.uk.
Please do. We would love to hear your guesses. Now, we're going to chat just regular running next. Not running down hills, just running. Or not running up that hill either, if you're Kate Bush. Now, world's fastest blind Ironman will join us to share his tips after this track from Carly Rae Jepsen.
I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell.
Hi, I'm Haseeb Ahmad. I am currently the head of Equality, Diversity and Inclusion at Leicestershire Partnership Trust. I'm a very, very keen runner, and I've done lots of sports things in the past, such as Ironman triathlons. I was on the GB paratriathlon squad as well. And I've also published my own autobiography called From Blind Man to Ironman. So for today's happy hour, I want to give you some tips on how to get started in running. If you're interested in running and you have a visual impairment, there's no reason why you can't get out there and run. I started running a number of years ago. And the very quick story is that my guide dog liked to do a bit of a sprint once we got out the house. I think he was quite happy to be out of the house, and we used to run up the road, but then he couldn't run very far. So I asked a friend if he would start running with me and guiding me, and I was delighted when he said yes. I think the very first thing is, don't just go out and do a 5-mile run if you've never run before. You've got to start by walking, running, walking. Usually what they say is walk for a minute, run for a minute if you can at your own pace, and then walk again, and do that for a few times. Then you build on that. Walk for a minute, run for 2 minutes, walk for a minute. And then eventually that will turn into longer and longer runs. What they do say is, do start with building up 10% every week. So if you start running, say, for example, 1 mile, the following week, you might want to run 1.1 miles. Just build it up by 10% each week. Don't go mad. The other tip that I would say is, obviously, it's going to be a concern if you need a guide runner. There's a lots of nice people out there. If you've got friends, if you've got family, if you're on Facebook, get into a running Facebook pages. There's plenty out there in your local area. We'll get on the Guide Runner database. I know England Athletics have a database, and just start to ask around, and even on Twitter. That's the way I do it anyway. I just ask. You just got to keep asking and be prepared for people to say, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I need to be qualified. But if you can show them how to guide you walking, then you can really train them on how to guide you running. And it's a great community out there. It really gets you out. It gets you physically active. And also you can make lots and lots of friends. So hopefully that gives you some ideas on how to get yourself started in running. And, make sure, obviously, you have got good running shoes, comfortable clothes. I wouldn't recommend you running your jeans. But if you've got nothing else, then, you know, maybe you could start. But go and get yourself some good pair of comfortable shorts, nice T-shirt. Technical T-shirts are usually good. Get yourself a running tether. You can Google that as well. I think British Blind Sports provide those as well. You could buy those. I just started off with a shoelace, you know, looping a shoelace at both ends when I first started running. But you can get some nice tethers now available to help you out there. So if you're interested in what I'm up to running wise or what I've done in the past, you can follow me on social media. I'm on Hasib Ahmed 2 on Twitter. And you can follow me there. I don't really tend to do much other social media, but Twitter's the place where you can find me. And if you want to message me, I can follow you back and we can maybe have some conversations.
It's the happy hour on RNIB Connect Radio. We'll give an answer to today's Guess This Sport soon in the show. Remember, it's a unique sport, has something to do with Gloucester, running down a long hill and dates back to early 1800.
But for now, it's time to get a bit techy. Chatting fitness technology, here's Tech Talks' Dave Williams and RNIB Technology for Life team's Mark Evans.
I started off when I got to about 40 years old and I realised I needed to be a bit more active, and I began with cycling, and I used to use RunKeeper, and it would log my distance and so on, and I could save it and look back at my previous ones, and I could also check in and see how my friends were getting on as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Ironically, I started cycling with a running app, but then when I started running, I started using Strava, which of course originally was a cycling app.
Yes.
And that's now where I do all my running, and I can see all the runners I know on Strava. I can see what they did, give them a kudo or like what they did. I really love reading those status updates, probably more than social media posts, because you know that when you see those updates that somebody's put in half an hour or an hour of physical effort. They haven't just taken a photograph of some beans on toast or something.
Yeah, I was about to say that, because that's very much a fashion thing, isn't it, with the food and meals that people have. But I think if it's themed and it's what's it in, something like you say, someone's put in that effort, they've put in that time, they've put in that dedication to work through that social side to spur one another on, it's nice to be part of something or to know. And I think a lot of blind and partially sighted people, like anything, we miss that interaction, we miss that connection. Also from a well-being point of view as well, to be able to see, you know, someone's just sort of liked or commented on what you've done and said, well done. I've got a friend who's training for a half marathon at the moment to raise money for our football club and to also a CP, cerebral palsy charity. And, you know, for him, having the ability to record things, and he's not a runner himself massively, in terms of distance, to have that is huge, to be able to see, and people can track his progress. And I think that's given him a boost.
Yes, and it can be a useful backup as well. If you run with a guide runner or cycle with a tandem pilot, if your tech fails, they can tag you in their activity.
Yeah.
It's not going to pick up all the stats, like your heart rate, for example, but at least you can see the distance and how long it took on Strava, for example.
Absolutely. The other thing I would say, and this is going on to kind of more of an accessory now, but you can get sort of arm guards or arm shields, as they're known, and you can actually slot your phone into that. I know a lot of people worry about running with the phone for falling, dropping it, etc. But these are really, really useful devices, really well made. Velcro straps, some of them have got sort of a popping connection on that as well. And I think for me, that gave me great confidence. Certainly if I'm going on any runs or if I'm going on any cycles, if I don't take a bag and if I just want a day with a bottle and my tech, then I'll use that. So price-wise, we're sort of looking, for a standard one, you're probably looking about $12.99. For a good one, you're looking just under sort of £20. So it's not a huge investment to protect your phone and give you a bit of peace of mind when you're out and about as well.
Tech Talks, Dave and Mark chatting fitness tech.
Now, if you would like more accessible fitness tech recommendations, you can give Tech Talk a follow on podcast. And all you need to do is find podcast episode 409.
And whilst you're looking around, why not give us a follow too? We're R&IB Happy Hour Podcast. Now, I believe it's time to give an answer for today's Guess This Sport trivia. Paulina, would you mind recapping?
Yeah, of course. So the sport involves racing down a steep 180-metre long hill, somehow connects to Gloucester, dates back to 1826, and it's very, very unusual.
Now, I know we have the answer in front of us, but to be completely truthful, Paulina, I would not guess this.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is cheese rolling.
What?
I mean, who could have thought that it was just a sport in itself?
Yeah, like an actual genuine sport you can take part in as well. So tell us a little bit more about it.
It's a sport that takes place once a year. A round of double Gloucester cheese is sent rolling down from the top of Cooper's Hill near Gloucester in England. Weighing between 7 and 9 pounds, the cheese can reach speeds of 70 miles per hour.
Whoa.
Competitors aim to catch the cheese, but the first person through the finish line is the one to win.
You know what really surprises me about this story? It's not even the fact that it's a cheese. It's the speed it reaches rolling down that hill.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Just thinking how fast a car goes, and then you just see a cheese rolling down this hill.
Well, apparently, something I read online was that if it hits you, it will knock you out.
So can you imagine going to hospital and saying, you know, I've just been knocked out, I'm not very well, and then they say, what happened? And you say, I got hit by a cheese.
I mean, to be fair, if you live in near Gloucester and it's that time of the year, they probably wouldn't even be that surprised.
No, very true. But for people like us who don't do that and have never heard of this, I am very intrigued. Do kind of want to visit Gloucester now to find out more.
Yeah, I did, like, some of the lovely videos and depictions of it I've seen is just a bunch of people rolling down a hill, not even anywhere near the cheese, because to be fair, once you're going down a steep hill, you're not running,
yeah.
You're tumbling.
I mean, that's just got it in one, hasn't it?
And I think people have to, like, catch you at the bottom so you don't hurt yourself as you go over the finish line, so, but, you know, I guess you get the thing of cheese at the end, so it's all worth it.
Worth it in the end.
You're working out for that cheese. I think that's how it is.
Yeah, you deserve it at the end. So remember, when you're kind of preparing, it's all going to be worth it for the cheese.
Now, we're going to be talking a little bit more about a classic physical activity, one that doesn't really involve cheese. We'll be hearing all about cricket shortly on the Happy Hour. Joining me to tell us all about a sport that he is very, very passionate about is Amin Afzal. So the sport you have a keen interest in is actually cricket, and you're here to tell me all about it, because I have to say, I don't really know that much.
Hi, Paulina. Yes, yeah, I'm into cricket. I've always been into cricket. since I've been a child. And then when I got diagnosed with RP, I found out that they have a visually impaired cricket team called Lancashire Lions, based in Greater Manchester, which I joined a couple of years ago. Luckily, I was just on YouTube, and one of the guys who runs it, he's been doing that for the last 10 years. So that actual team do goal ball, they do vision impaired cricket, and they also do baseball. But I've just concentrated myself on just cricket. This is my second season with the cricket team.
So you said you've actually played it before you tried cricket before you tried cricket for visually impaired people. How did you find the change? Because it is slightly different.
Yes, it is slightly different. It took me some time to get used to it because a ball is a 3-inch ball size, and it's hard to get grip of hold of the ball and the way you can ball differently. And if you're totally blind, you get out, you can get out twice until you're actually out, and the catches and so forth. So it took me some time getting used to last year. I'm still getting my head around it sometimes, because when you ball, not on normal cricket, you can just ball, but with visually impaired cricket, before you ball, you say ready, and then before it gets released from your hand, you have to say play. So the batsman is aware that the ball is coming to him, even if he's visually impaired or totally blind. Some will have good central vision and peripheral vision, so everyone's different. The wicketkeeper will shout to the bowler, saying middle, middle, middle. You can ball middle or offside, so you have that. And then once you have the ball, the fieldman has the ball, you throw it back to the bowler, and you just shout to the bowler, whatever his name is, and that the ball is coming to them, so they know. Even the ball makes the noise, but the bat itself is a normal bat you use. The stumps are normal, fielding is normal, and the umpires, we have proper umpires as well. So that's the difference.
Okay, and is the team the same sort of size, or are you looking at slightly smaller numbers, or how does it compare to the field? Is it also quite a big field?
Yeah, and the team size is normally the same as the normal cricket, 11, team of 11. If the other opposition team, one of the teams has a few less players, that's fine. And then it can go to that. They can have less, one or two less players. They pull out, they can't get hold of another player. No one's available. That's fine. They can still play. The fielding is the same. The outfield, offside, onside is the same size. Last year, I travelled with the team to Somerset, Sussex, Northants, London. We travelled on overnight. We went on our cars and minibuses, and we stayed in a travel lodge and then played the next day. So it can be a bit of a long day when you're travelling. Even sometimes like Bradford or Yorkshire, which is only an hour's drive away, you're going about starting off at 10 o'clock, travelling there, 11, game starts about 12:30. So by the time you get home, it's 8, 9 o'clock. So yeah, it can be a bit of a long day.
But I imagine it must be quite fun, because you're obviously committing to that long day, but since it's quite a big team, you probably meet some really good people and make some friends, and it's a bit of a sense of a community and being part of a team.
Yeah, it is. You meet different people of different religions and different ethnicities, and you get to know people what they have different eye conditions, and you get to know, you make friends, like you said. We also been out for meals as a team. We'll have a banter, we'll have a laugh. It's just to get out and do something. I struggle to go to the gym since I had my condition, because I don't drive, and the gym is quite far away. I've been with a family friend, but the gym was quite dark for me, and I bumped into a few objects and people, and I feel reluctant and I feel nervous. So with the vision impaired cricket, you're all the same bunch of people. You all have a visual impairment, no matter if it's severe or severely sight impaired or totally blind, or we all get on, we all help each other. Because I've still got good central vision, I'll help the other players. We'll get them out to the field, make them ready for batting. We also have the batsman who, if a batsman is totally has no vision, there can be a run up for him. Just that participation and getting out there, keeping fit, is good, and it's a good motivation.
Yeah, and as you said, being part of a group of people that really know what you're going through, it makes it a little bit less awkward for you, and maybe a little bit less nerve-wracking if you're joining for the first time. So I guess I wonder, Do you have to be quite fit to play cricket, or can someone who's maybe like a total newbie give it a go and try it out?
No, you don't have to be fit to be playing cricket. You can be a total newbie. Any age, it doesn't matter. Size, it doesn't matter. And there's no gender discrimination or anything. It could be female, male, anyone can participate if you're visually impaired. Again, I'll retail it's Lancashire Lions, and they control all the, well, they play in the Greater Manchester. You've got Oldham, Manchester, Bolton, where I live, and other surrounding areas, Bury. And, you know, you can happily join, and they'll communicate. They have a WhatsApp group, and they'll select players, and they'll ask for players. And if you want to go ahead and you're selected, and, you know, you'll be kept informed where to meet. They have a ground in Manchester, Wright Robertson's College in Manchester, which is really good, quite big, and everyone's really helpful with each other and cooperative. During the winter time, when there's no cricket, we play indoor training in Oldham. So for a couple of hours, that's where we train. For in the winter, we have newbies coming on board. We have children. This club, we have a child who the age of 9 and 10, you know, and going up even the age of 50 or 60. Yeah, one guy is in his 50s and one is his 60s. So, yeah, there's no age barrier or anything like that. If you have a difficulty in running, they can be put into wicket keeping or near, you know, different field positions. So, yeah, you know, everyone's looked after.
I like that. It's pretty much very inclusive, is what you said there. Now, personally, what would you say is the thing you love the most about playing cricket?
It's just working as a team, motivating each other. One's having a bad spell in bowling or batting or anything, we can, you know, push that other person. I'm a great believer in teamwork. We all lose as a team. We all gain as a team. You know, it's not that, yes, the individual has done a great score, maybe, yes. But we all worked as a team, fielded, bowled, batted. And also, as well as that, is keeping fit as well. Keeps me fit and out of trouble. So, yeah.
And it helps you look after your get out of your head a bit more as well.
Because yes,
sport's really good for mental health as well. It's not just physical.
Correct.
So I guess the final question I have for you is, do you have any words of encouragement to someone who is maybe considering cricket, but a little bit shy?
Yeah, just go out and try it. You know, there's no harm in trying. Just go out and watch. You can go to any visually impaired cricket team, sit and watch how they play, and trial it. You're not forced into it. You know, just go and do it. Anything is possible. I believe a visual impairment or disability shouldn't stop a person of doing any sports or anything in their life. I personally have seen people who are visually impaired who do skateboarding, who do skiing, tennis, all the sports, you name it. And, you know, just trial it. Now, I've never looked back. It keeps you mentally and physically good. And, you know, you're doing something for yourself and for a team.
Oh, such wonderful advice there. Thank you so much for sharing your love for cricket with us on RNAB Connect Radio.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Pauline. Thanks for your time again. Thank you.
This is an RNIB Talking Book.
Talking Books has two shows per day. One at 8 a.m. and the other at 2 p.m. or 10 p.m. if you prefer a book at bedtime.
My name is Jim Broadbent and I'm delighted to be reading the Talking Books.
Enjoy a classic from the RNIB Talking Books Library morning, afternoon or evening.
This is Julia Donaldson and you're listening to Talking Books.
And for younger listeners or the young at heart, Children's Talking Books is on every Saturday at 9, Sunday at 3 or Tuesday at 6 p.m. Books for all ages, all through the day, only on RNIB Connect Radio.
This is RNIB Connect Radio.
And that's us at the end of today's happy hour and part two of our Get Active special. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, if you'd like to share your love for a sport or anything else, like an album, book or movie, you can always drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, our email is radio@rnib.org.uk, which is also where you can send in your music therapy choices and choose a track that we end our show with each week.
All we need to know is why this particular song is so special to you. Now Haseeb is joining us once again to share one of his favourite tracks, and Paulina and I will see you on the Happy Hour next week. Bye!
See you later!
Hi, it's Haseeb again, and the track that I'm introducing for the end of the show is by a band called Pepper Roach, called Elevate. The reason why I chose this particular track is that it is really uplifting for me. Great beat, and it's really good to run to in terms of the tempo that I run at, but it may be a bit noisy for some people. I hope it's not.
You are listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour long show. If you've enjoyed the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, thank you for listening to the Happy Hour podcast.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.